What's up, guys? Welcome to the 330 Sports Show. Today is Tuesday, July 20th, 2021. I'm your host, Justin Coffin, and we are powered by Youngstown Studio. Check out the Youngstown Studio on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and also on Instagram and on your favorite podcast platforms. Also, make sure to follow my show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at 330 Sports Show. We do have phone lines open, 330-595-1600. 330-595-1600. If you want to jump in and talk all things sports, or I guess whatever's on your mind. I basically split this show into two parts. So the first part of the show, we're going to get into the NBA finals. It's going to be a little bit shorter of a segment, probably about 10, 15 minutes. We'll get into game sixes tonight. It's in Milwaukee. The Bucks have a chance to close out the series by winning the last four consecutive. The Suns were up 2-0. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And then the second half of the show, you know, we always do our top five Tuesday. So our top five Tuesday today is going to be, and we're going to do a lot of Olympic talk too, but today's basic Olympic talk is going to be top five most obscure Olympic sports or weirdest Olympic sports, whatever way you want to talk about it. And we'll talk about all kinds of different other random Olympic events that are either current or have been in the Olympiad in the past. So that's what we're going to do today. If you want to jump in on any of that or anything else that might be on your mind, I know there's a whole lot going on in the sports world. But I really want to cover this NBA Finals and with the Olympics coming up, get into that stuff. So plenty more to cover. So if I miss anything, feel free to call in or write in and we will get to that. So let's start with the NBA Finals, how we got here. So here's kind of Phoenix's path to the finals. They defeated the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron, former champs, 4-2 in the first round. They then swept the Denver Nuggets 4-0. And then they beat the other LA team, the LA Clippers, 4-2. They were up in this series 2-0. And now they're down 3-2. They've lost the final or last three games heading into game six. Milwaukee's path to the NBA Finals. They first swept Miami, who knocked them out of the playoffs last year. Miami made it to the NBA Finals last year. So both teams defeated the teams that were in the finals in the first round this year. In the second round, and the second round is where Milwaukee really, really, I hate to say got lucky, but they sort of were the last man standing. They defeated the Brooklyn Nets 4-3 in game seven, overtime. And you know, you can remember back to right at the end of regulation in game seven, Kevin Durant hits that looked to be a three-pointer. His big toe ended up being on the line. That forces it to go to overtime. So that, like, I don't even know, half inch, quarter inch, whatever you want to call it, prevented Brooklyn from going to the finals. And you know, who knows what would have happened if Kyrie would have got hurt, or I mean healthy, if Harden would have got healthy. You know, it could be a whole different topic we're talking about here today. So I guess that's a kind of a big what if Durant would have been behind the line. Then they moved on, defeated the upstart Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference Finals 4-2. And then this current series, Milwaukee was down 0-2, they lost the first game, first two games in Phoenix, and they've won the last three games. And they were the underdogs coming into this series. I did see before the playoffs started, you could get Phoenix as a 9-1 dog before the playoffs. So that would have paid off pretty nicely, $900 on a $100 bet. But basically, these finals are two very evenly matched teams. And you can see it, a lot of these games going down to the buzzer and to the wire. So the big difference for me is Milwaukee is a better defensive team, probably the poorer free throw shooting team. Phoenix is a stronger free throw shooting team, but they're not quite as deep as Milwaukee, at least in my opinion. Milwaukee's missing DiVincenzo. Saric just went out for Phoenix. But Phoenix is not a super deep team. They have a lot of nice pieces. They got, obviously, we know Booker. We know Chris Paul. We know DeAndre Ayton. They got Jay Crowder, who, you know, is just kind of a steady guy. And they got the Cams in there. And, you know, they have a pretty nice team, but not a very deep team. So we're kind of seeing that play out. As Phoenix looks tired right now. I don't know. To me, they look tired. Chris Paul looks kind of worn out. Chris Paul's starting to look, I think he's 36 or 37, but he's kind of starting to show that. I don't know if his hand's injured. He seems to be kind of favoring it from time to time. So I don't know. So I wrote down four headlines heading into tonight's game. So here's, and Lucas, you know, feel free. I know you're an NBA guy. Feel free to jump in on any of these if you want. But so if Giannis wins this title, you know, being sort of an underdog, a lot of people were on his case with missed free throw shooting and stuff like that. But has he kind of catapulted himself into the top three discussion of best NBA players?
See, I feel like this comes up every finals. Mm-hmm. That has a team in it, either it's against LeBron or, you know, however that plays out.
Sure.
I mean, it's always been against LeBron the past couple of years. But the star player, everybody always talks about the star player being in the top three no matter what.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter who the team is.
Sure.
You know, it's rotated every year as the finals rotated. And, I mean, maybe for that year, yeah.
Sure.
Sure. Now, in the league total, I just don't see it.
Okay.
But, I mean, I just feel like it's something that comes up.
Yeah.
Every finals, and it
last just, year the talk was Jimmy Butler at this time too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's you know, I think we can put Kawhi up there, but Kawhi's really injury prone. Giannis, you know, I mean, we're going 2 weeks ago. It looked like he tore like literally every ligament in his knee, and he's now playing at an all-time clip in the playoffs. So, I guess that's for argument's sake, but that's one headline. Another one. And this is just my opinion, because I was looking at his numbers, and over the last 30 years, maybe even last 40 years into the finals, if he wins this title, he could arguably be a top 20 player of all time. Just my opinion. People out there might agree, might vehemently disagree with me. he is an awful free throw shooter, but he does everything else extremely well.
You know who else is an awful free throw shooter?
Shaq
was horrible.
I have Shaq in my notes here that we're going to talk about in a little bit, because what Giannis is doing, and Giannis is sort of playing that center position because he's not really an outside shooter on defense. He's 7 foot freaking tall and can do the things he does and move the way he does. And we'll talk about his defense as well. But yeah, you're right. Shaq, Giannis, there's been a handful of other guys that are just really, you know, Karl Malone was an okay free throw shooter. We'll get into some of these other guys, but yeah, you're right. A lot of guys that are solid players aren't the best free throw shooters.
And I think also his ability is probably already top 10 or top 20. Sorry, almost dropped the top 10.
No. Agreed.
I mean, athletic ability alone.
Okay.
He's got to be top 20 NBA players. I mean, he's literally a freak. I mean, stature, size, ability right now.
No doubt.
I mean, I feel like he's still putting it together.
He had sort of a, I don't know if it was a post-game interview or yesterday an interview he put out, and they asked him, you know, why he's so successful. And he sort of said, well, I don't focus on what I've done. I'm focused on where I'm going. So he's a very humble dude. He's a very likable guy. He is just easygoing. When you hear him speak, he's very soft-spoken, and he has that little, you know, European accent. So he doesn't necessarily look like how he sounds. But I was sent that clip yesterday or this morning, and I had heard that for the first time. And he just talked about like, hey, I'm focused on my goals. I'm not focused on what I've done. I'm focused on where I'm going. And it was very humble and very like, this is a really likable dude.
Yeah.
So he has, to me, kind of got up to that upper echelon of players. Now let's go to a player on the Sun side. One of my third headline here is Devin Booker. Okay, so I'll give you a choice, and you can pick. And I'll give you a couple names if you can't think of your own.
Okay,
is Devin Booker, has he become the best shooting guard in the league? And let me give you some other names.
Okay.
All right. And you can tell me if you would take one of those guys or if you would take Devin Booker. So the obvious name that comes to mind is James Harden. James Harden, left-handed. I guess you could say maybe he plays a point guard position, but he's a two guard, with the number of shots he gets up. Devin Booker, obviously. Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell's another guy. He played point guard because Mike Conley was hurt, but I'm going to add him to the list. Jaylen Brown of Boston. Bradley Beal of the Wizards. Probably another team next year. And Paul George, because Kawhi kind of is their three. So I'm going to put Paul George and what he did this playoff. So if you have somebody else in mind. So out of Harden, Booker, Donovan Mitchell, Jaylen Brown, Bradley Beal, or Paul George, who would you take?
I mean, you have to go with Book right now.
Okay.
He's hot. He's been playing out of his mind. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't even know if it's out of his mind. I think it's right in his wheelhouse.
Sure.
But I think his attitude, how he carries himself,
mm-hmm.
I think you have to factor those in, because I wouldn't want a Kawhi Leonard on my team at the end of the day.
Sure.
I mean, he's not, he's not a team player.
Yeah. And he questions team authority a lot.
He does.
And
I think it messes with the synergy. And mm-hmm. I think that's major key going into playoffs. You got to have a team that's all on the same page. And if Absolutely. You got a guy at the front of the book and a guy at the back of the book, it's just not going to work. And I think that's kind of the same case with James Harden.
Okay.
So I think I would go, I think he's just been looked over too much now.
Okay.
And he's kind of, sick of it. And he's playing with some, grit, I guess you could say. He's hustling.
I'm going to the reason I brought that up, I looked at especially his last two games. So overall for the finals, he's averaging 28.6 rebounds, actually for the playoffs, 28.6 rebounds, 5 assists throughout the whole playoffs. Pretty awesome. However, you look at his shooting percentage, especially from the three-point line, you would think he is a better three-point shooter than he is. I think he's in the low 30s, 31, 32%. So not the greatest three-point shooter. He sort of has a Kobe Bryant-type player feel to me. I know that was one of his, icons looking up to, idols looking up to when he was a younger player, and he kind of, asked him a lot of questions and leaned on him a little bit. But he kind of has that same game. He's a high volume shooter, so he gets a lot of shots up. But he had 40 points in the back-to-back game, 4 and 5, both unfortunately losses for Phoenix, which stinks. But, that's just one of those things, though. I think he has got to that point now where we can at least have that conversation.
100%. So, where do you throw his name? Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum, I would consider a three.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't put him in there. I would take Jason Tatum all day over Booker, just size and athleticism and whatever. But Booker, I think, for what he gives you, and he's becoming an improving defender. He's not a great defender, but he'll give you what he's got on the court. And I think he's a little bit younger guy, so he can expend some energy. And we know, though, he can score. So he's going to have to do that the next two games again just to do that. But he's going to need some of his teammates to help him out, especially Chris Paul.
100%.
So and the final one I had, what do you think about Chris Paul? Is he hurt? Or is he just old?
I think now's the time for him to rise to the occasion. Mm-hmm. Because, people were talking about the conversations with Magic and all these other point guards. And really, he's in a league with, Kidd and Nash in all reality. Yeah, he's not. Right. I think he's not that top-tier mm-hmm. point guard that everybody talked about, that he just needed the opportunity. Well,
right.
The opportunity is right here. Look, I don't know.
Yeah.
Granted, it could be age. It could be injury that we haven't heard yet.
Right.
But I think, now's the time for him to step it up mm-hmm. and show that maybe he should be that top tier.
Well, and the way these finals have played out, too, they've had three days rest in between these last couple games. If they do happen to win tonight, game seven would be Thursday night. So he's only going to have one day rest if they do win tonight. Obviously, you got to worry about game six before you worry about game seven. But
right.
But yeah, that's interesting because I like that point, too. He is kind of, if he does not win, he's going to be in that. And it's not a bad group to be in,
no.
But you're going to be in the Barkley group. The who else? Karl Malone, John Stockton. I mean, and those are great, great all-time players, but guys that have got close but never won a title. Mm-hmm. So I think he is probably in that club right now, but not quite. But he could, you know, he could get over the hump with back-to-back wins.
If these two games, he really, you know, rises to the occasion that, mm-hmm. or rises to the standard that he's been held at.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least talked about at.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, everybody's like, oh, Chris Paul.
Right, right.
But in all reality, it's not looking too good.
Yeah, and obviously, he, you know, they were up 2-0, looking really good heading into Milwaukee. And you know, most teams down 2-0 that lose the first two on the road do win that game, game three. But yeah, he's just really struggled the last few games. He is averaging one free throw per game in the finals. It kind of shows he's not taking it to the rim. He's sort of settling, kicking it out, whatever it might be. And you got to give credit to Drew Holiday too. He's, when he is on Paul, he really locks him down. So interesting note. And I got to give credit to Bill Simmons on this one. But he said that Devin Booker. So, okay. Let me just set the scene, I guess. Go in game five. Suns were down. Well, Suns were up big in the first quarter.
Right.
Milwaukee comes all the way back. They go up big. I think they're up maybe 14 points at some point in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They were up 8 points with 2.5 minutes left, less than that. And then Devin Booker, they had cut it to one. Devin Booker was driving in the middle and either was going to kick out or take the shot. If, you know, he makes the shot or they kick it out, they hit the shot, they go up. If he misses, you know, maybe you get back on defense, you get another chance. So Milwaukee strips the ball, steals it, and it goes into that Giannis, that Drew Holiday to Giannis freak alley-oop play, which is, talk about the balls to make that pass and not take a foul. But Phoenix as a team was 7 of 10 shooting on middle drives to the hoop this series, with no turnovers up until that point. So worst case, you're looking at 70% a chance the ball's going in, and or worst case scenario, you know, possible offensive rebound, defensive rebound, you get back. So the Bucks, I keep flip-flopping because my mind's all over the place, but the Bucks, the one thing I have to say for them, they are a phenomenal defensive team. Phenomenal. And that's how they got to this point. A little bit of luck, a little bit of injuries, you know, kind of last man standing. But if you really think of the two most iconic plays from the series, one is going to be that block.
100%.
And Booker was involved in both plays, unfortunately. Booker, you know, lobs it up. Giannis has his back turn, goes up, and just unbelievable, iconic block. Still not as good as LeBron game seven. I'll stick with that. Doesn't need to be an argument. Both great plays. And then the other one was obviously that strip and steal, and then the oop the other way, which kind of sealed the game. So the Bucks have really, really risen to the occasion on the defensive end. Now, let me talk real quick. What's your thoughts on Chris Middleton and what he's done?
I mean, he's really playing his position well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's probably all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
It's not like I've been keeping my eye on him, but I mean, I think he's playing, you know.
No, I think he's really stepped up as a solid number two, sort of the Kyrie Irving to LeBron in 2016, kind of the, I don't want to quite put him in the Anthony Davis range with LeBron last year, but sort of that, maybe that Klay Thompson role with Steph in 2015 or 20, you know, I guess Klay became the third guy in 2018, but, you know, sort of that secondary guy, that Kyle Lowry help me out with Kawhi Leonard. So, you know, just that secondary guy that you can trust. He's obviously the better shooter. If the Bucks are up one or two. You want the ball in his hands if they're coming at you to foul. You don't want Giannis holding the ball and having to go to the line. I think he was, I have it written down, he was 4 of 11 from the free throw line in game five. But that one miss turned into an offensive rebound, which, true, you know, turned into a big play for Milwaukee. So a couple more weird stats, and then we'll move on to set up this game tonight. So this is really, really interesting. Teams who shot 20 or more three-point field goal attempts and made at least 60%, which Phoenix did in game five, were 12-0 in NBA Finals games and won by an average of 24 points a game until Saturday. So really interesting fact there. I mentioned earlier, Chris Paul is only averaging one free throw attempt per game. And then here's the point you had talked about with Shaq earlier. So Giannis right now is averaging 32 points, 13 rebounds and 6 assists on about 60% shooting. The only centers to equal that or better that are Shaquille O'Neal, Hakeem Olajuwon, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Moses Malone. Only four ever. And then I had mentioned the 42-point club earlier in previous shows. Now, there's a 47-point club that's even more elite. So what that means, if you add up the points, the rebounds, and the assists, add them together, if your sum is greater than or equal to 47, you're in this club. There are only five guys in NBA history to ever do that. LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaquille O'Neal, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Right now, Giannis is in that club with what he has done. And to me, that's just freakish, you know, and he's called the Greek freak for a reason, and he's really showing it this NBA Finals. So it's going to be a very, very interesting game six. I picked the Suns to win the series, so I feel like I have to pick. I think the Bucks are going to win tonight, but I feel like I have to pick the Suns because I actually picked them in six games to win. So that's not happening. So I'm still going to go with Phoenix and, you know, in seven games, but that's just my, I guess more of my heart saying, but I've come to like both of these teams. I really don't have a dog in the fight. I just hope for good games. And
yeah,
I feel like that person in the stands that holds up the poster. It's like, I just hope everyone has a good time. But yeah, these games make for good entertainment, and it's kind of cool to be watching NBA basketball in mid-July,
yeah,
you know? So, you know, hopefully we get a game seven, fingers crossed. And if we do, we'll have a ton more for you on Thursday's show. So before we get into the second part of our show, which is going to be entertaining, I highly suggest you stick around and listen to it. I'm going to do a little network promo for you. So go ahead and take a listen to.
Hey, guys, just wanted to take a quick moment to first of all say thank you for supporting our programming here on Youngstown Studio. I specifically would like to say thank you for supporting my show. You know, we continue to grow and get better and better each week, and that's because of you guys. And, you know, thanks go out to you guys for supporting our show, our network, and, you know, our programming as we continue to grow. Wanted to tell you a few things about our show, and we'll get back to our programming in just a minute, but make sure to follow my show, the 330 Sports Show, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at 330 Sports Show. It really helps us grow, helps me put out a lot of content that I can't always fit into our normal broadcasting or programming that we do each Tuesday and Thursday. A couple ways to listen, watch, and follow on Youngstown Studio. So first of all, follow Youngstown Studio at their Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages. Also follow our YouTube page. You can watch all of our shows right there on our YouTube page through Youngstown Studio. You can also watch live on Twitter at Ytown Studio or on Facebook, as you're probably watching now, through Youngstown Studio. You can listen just by simply searching Youngstown Studio on any of your favorite podcast platforms, such as iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, whatever it might be, wherever you get your podcast from, that's where you can listen. Again, just search Youngstown Studio and you'll find over 500 shows. You can also visit youngstownstudio.com to find all those shows. Real quick, wanted to tell you about one of our newer shows, Homes and Hops with Lisa Resnick. That premieres each Thursday right after my show. So give her a listen. She promotes a ton of our local Valley breweries, especially, but a lot of great guests on her show as well. Fast Freddy, live on Thursdays at 7:30. He always puts out a lot of good content. You'll know him from the radio. We have a political show, Turning Red. That is Tuesdays at 5 p.m. The Joe and Doug Show, which is each Tuesday and Thursday at 6 p.m. And, you know, these are just some of the things we've done. We also have a recovery show, but last week we just had in the Vindies. We performed a live show. We've done comedy nights. We've had the mayor candidates in. You know, we do a lot of great stuff. So make sure to give our channel a like and follow and share with anyone that you think might be interested. So thanks, guys. Have a great day and appreciate you listening. We will get back to our programming.
All right. Oh, did I X out? All right. We are back. I hope I didn't X out all those pictures that I just... that we just loaded. But anyway, we are, we're going to talk about our top five. I might have you look at that. Our top five, most random Olympic sports. Lucas is entering the screen as I once again, probably screwed up, my visuals. And there are so many of them today, and he already did the hard work and legwork. And I think I might've X'd out. So anyways, the Olympics as of now are starting on Friday, the opening ceremonies. There'll be some other there'll be some other game, you know, ceremonies and random events that start preliminary to that, just because they have you know, their the length is not necessarily what fits into the Olympics. So we're gonna talk. We all know track and field, we all know swimming, we all know basketball and gymnastics and all that. So we'll talk about those during the games, obviously. But I want to give some random sports their due. And we're going to start with a top five list. And believe me, this list is not limited to five. So I'm going to put up our top five list. And obviously, there's going to be a ton of honorable mentions. So we're going to start with what's called dressage. And Lucas, like I said, just feel free to jump in on any of these. I am by no means an expert on any of this stuff, but dressage. So what dressage is basically horse dancing. It's remarkably difficult. It looks strange and awkward, yet requires tremendous amounts of practice and surprising athleticism. Even, you know, the horse obviously should get the freaking gold medal, not 100%. The person, but you know what? The person, the rider, the equestrian, whatever they're called, needs to be, you know, pretty in sync with the animal. And if it goes well, it looks beautiful. If it looks bad, it's like a bad couple that can't dance, you know, on the dance floor. And we all know them. We all know what that looks like. There's also another sport called eventing, which is in the horse category. And that's sort of a triathlon type thing for the horse. It's where a single horse and rider combine and compete against other competitors across the three disciplines of dressage, cross country, which is more of, you know, we know what cross country running is. So it's more like that, like a longer distance, and show jumping, which is actually kind of cool if you've ever seen that before. All right. A second one, badminton. Like, I feel like this is like just a random backyard game people have at times, or maybe you played this in gym class when you were younger. But badminton became an official sport at the Barcelona Olympics in 1992. The competition at Tokyo 2020 will consist of men's and women's singles, men's and women's doubles, and mixed doubles. A match consists of best of three games with the first player or pair to reach 21 points in the winning game. What's your thoughts on badminton, Lucas?
I mean, at a competitive level, I mean, granted, all these are going to be at a, you know, extremely competitive level. I mean, it takes some serious skill. I mean, especially, I don't know.
I feel like badminton is to tennis what wiffle ball is to baseball.
I feel like it's more like volleyball.
Okay.
I feel like that's...
Can you spike the birdie or whatever it's called? Are you allowed to do that?
I don't know. Okay. I think obviously there's some ways you can do it.
Okay.
There's some ways to swing the racket.
Do you ever think we'd talk about badminton on this show? No, not me. Honestly. But hey, we're here. We're doing it. We're going down a dark alley. The next one we're going to talk about is race walking. Race walking. You heard that right. So you could find a competitive race walker at your local mall, at the Southern Park Mall, at the Eastwood Mall. But, you know, I don't want to downgrade these athletes because they are athletes. But here's some interesting loopholes with this. First, both feet must stay in contact with the ground at all times.
Yeah, this was, wasn't this most recently added?
I believe it was. I don't have a date on it, but this is fairly new. Within the last 20 years, for sure.
100%. I was in high school, I believe.
Okay.
Because we read the rules and we were trying to figure out how you do it. We'd walk down the hallway like that.
So you've tried this before?
I've tried it.
Okay.
It's actually pretty difficult.
Do you drag the other foot then, or how's that work?
No. You actually just have to make sure you don't pick it up before your other foot hits the ground.
Got it. So one foot has to be on the ground at all times.
Yeah. Well, both feet. Both have to be on the ground before the other one comes back up.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. It's basically like one.
All right. So from what I've read, it's surprisingly difficult. It looks ridiculous. And this is from a magazine article. They said basically it causes the entire track to look like rhythmic penguins. So. Wow. It could be a good YSU sport to pick up. They can call it the Rhythmic Penguins for a competitive competitive.
We might have a club team already.
Our race walkers. Love it. All right. The next one, the modern pentathlon. So penta, obviously, the root means five. Even though it's called modern, this pentathlon has actually been part of the Olympics since 1912. The series of five events involves swimming. Fencing, you know, not necessarily modern, but equestrian show jumping. So we're bringing in horses into this, a long distance run, and pistol firing. So there's your modern pentathlon. Like so really interesting stuff there.
It's like they just picked.
I know.
They put all the sports in a hat. They picked out which five they're going to
do. So I looked more into this, and it says the combinations of events began as military requirements. Mm. For their cavalrymen when they first enlisted.
Makes
so
sense.
Interesting stuff there. I might drop the modern and just call it a pentathlon.
Though. Yeah.
So unless there is a new pentathlon, which I don't know about.
They should change it every year.
Exactly.
The five sports are different every year.
Yeah. That would be kind of cool. Or like the,
or 4 years. Sorry.
Or like people randomly like vote on what the fifth one is like that. All right. And the last one I put in this top five list, believe me, this is not all we're getting to, but the last one is artistic swimming, and which is basically synchronized swimming or artistic swimming. Now, synchronized swimming is a separate event, but it's sort of artistic swimming is sort of swimming, dance, gymnastics consisting of swimmers performing a synchronized routine of elaborate moves in the water, accompanied by music. So I don't really know what the difference is between, I think maybe synchronized swimming has more people on a team. I don't know. The girl in the picture on the right looks pretty good looking. I would at least go to watch her. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know if this is something I'm passing up basketball or softball or baseball or gymnastics or track to go watch artistic swimming, but you never know. If it's on, maybe I'll check it out. It's on all the NBC channels coming up. So Any thoughts on artistic swimming? You were a swimmer, weren't you?
No.
No, that was Mario. Mario was.
Mario was a swimmer. No, that wasn't me. I stayed dry.
So any other, I don't know. Like, what do you think on that?
I feel like it's the same thing as, I mean, I've never tuned into the Olympics just for artistic swimming.
You would not be the only one.
I would like to know kind of in detail what the real differences are. Because sure, I feel like synchronized swimming's hard.
I agreed.
Anything in the water.
In no way am I downgrading these athletes' abilities because, you know, you got to be, you know, just go underwater and try to hold your breath for even 30 seconds. You know, it's not easy to do.
You'd be surprised.
It is not easy to do. So, you know, what these, I'm guessing this is a female only sport, but I don't want to just say it is. I'll have to look more into that, but I would guess it probably is, but I appreciate their athletic ability, their athleticism, right. But you know, I don't know, like you said, if it's something we're tuning in to watch just because.
Yeah. I mean, unless you were like a part of it and you have a deep passion for it, it's not something you would just be like, hey.
Exactly.
You guys want to go to B-dubs and watch artistic swimming?
How drunk do you want to get for that artistic Germany honestly, versus that might be fun. Croatia artistic swimming, yeah. Man. All right. So that's my top five list. We are going to go through a ton of more events, and I'm going to try to go through quickly. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on each one to give give each one its due, but we're going to have a lot of random pictures up in this. That's what I closed out earlier that Lucas came back and helped me fix, but we're going to start with ping pong or table tennis, as it's commonly known in the Olympics. So when I think of table tennis or ping pong, I think of Forrest Gump. So I think of Forrest Gump and how he, you know, was kind of rehabbing in, I think it was the Vietnam War. And then U.S. and China kind of used that as relations to help each other out. But, you know, ping pong, I have a ping pong table in my basement. I love playing it. It's fun. I'm okay at it. But again, it's another sport where if you call it a sport, I guess it is a sport because it involves skill. It's competitive, you know, and I mean, hell, it's an Olympic event. So, you know, but when I think of ping pong, I don't know. Immediately I go to Forrest Gump. With because he became Tom Hanks's character in that movie, just phenomenal at ping pong. You like ping pong? You're a ping pong guy?
Is my favorite. Okay. Actually, I have a trophy. I've started a ping pong club in high school.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
so I was at a dinner for academics with the principal there and the superintendent, and they're talking about how they need more intramural activity at the school. And I'm like, how about we start a ping pong club?
Heck yeah.
So they gave me funding, bought tables, started a club.
Awesome.
Hosted a tournament, won the tournament.
Okay. That sounds
fun. Some people said it was rigged, but
I mean, if you're good enough.
The trophy, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're good enough. I play at least twice a week.
Okay.
So, but I used to play that. It's actually funny. You talked about the rehab from the war with Forrest Gump. I broke my back, and the only sport I could play was ping pong.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. My dad built me, we built a outdoor ping pong table, and that's kind of what I did.
Okay.
While I was in a brace.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of where I got good.
Ping pong healing hearts, minds, countries, and bodies and body. Over time. Yes. So love it. Love it. All right. Next one. Next one is a sport I remember playing in high school in middle school gym class. It was handball.
Handball.
So if you go to the next picture that's on here, it sort of has a look to it almost like a basketball court where there's like a three-point line, sort of. It's almost like soccer-ish slash
is it like
football-ish,
like water polo without the water.
Yeah, that's a good way of maybe. Actually, you know what, I never thought of it like that.
That's
probably a better comparison.
I remember watching it, I'm like, wow, this is intense. Mm-hmm.
It really is intense.
It is.
And this was a game I remember playing, like I said, in fifth and sixth and seventh grade in middle school gym class. And it was a lot of fun because, you know, there was a goal, you know, it was like soccer, like right. You said, water polo, and was just a really cool sport. But if I remember right, there's almost sort of like a line of scrimmage where you can't run forward. I believe.
I think it's this orange area here.
Okay.
That line you can't throw the ball from. So it's almost like a 3-pointer. Like,
okay.
If you shoot the ball before you hit the ground and you jump over the 3-point line, you're fine.
Okay.
And I think that's kind of what it is.
All right. Very good.
I think.
All right. Well, that's all the time for handball. All right. The next one we're going to is probably America's number one childhood breaker of bones, and that would be the trampoline. So the trampolining, I believe is what it's called, is relatively new to the Olympic circuit. It was added in the year 2000 and continues to be a fun event to witness. If in only an attempt to recapture our lost childhood. There's lots of twirls and flips and twists and turns with judges assigning seemingly arbitrary points. So it's kind of, I watched the new Space Jam movie over the weekend, and you know, it's sort of like video game-ish where people are assigned points, and these characters were assigned points based on skill, and you know, so it kind of brings in gymnastics and with the use of the trampoline. I remember, and this is probably before your time, but they used to have a basketball league that was on trampolines, and there was these crazy dunks and stuff like that. I always loved that, but this obviously is a little different, but they have these, like, if you're listening on a podcast in the future, you know, there's this almost sort of landing area, like a helicopter would have, where I think these athletes have to land in that zone, or else they might get deducted points or something like that. But, you know, they compete, and I think there's some ones where it's almost like a synchronized thing, like a swimming. And there's other ones where there's sort of just like, hey, do your routine,
like
gymnastics, where you throw in all your crazy stuff you do.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
That's so really cool. That's kind of another cool one. Another random one is the canoe slalom, which there's also a canoe sprint, but canoe slalom, previously called white water slalom. This event came onto the scene in 1992 and continues going on. In it, paddlers go along river rapids through a series of gates as quickly as possible. Even more than the swimmers, water conditions in the 2016 Rio Olympics was a concern because the slalom takes place in an unfiltered aquatic condition. So, you know, your lake, your river, whatever. And I'm not sure. I'm sure Japan has an area they've already designated or sanctioned off for this event, but hopefully it's a little bit better conditions than Rio, because I do remember 5 years ago that was a big issue with the athletes complaining about the water conditions, because you know, in Brazil they just weren't treating things like they should. Japan, more
probably
very similar to the United States when it comes to just the way they do things. So I would say they should be okay with that, but kind of a cool thing to kind of, you know, there's the slalom event in skiing, and this is very similar where they're going in and out of the rods or cones or whatever you want to call it. Another one that they've added is surfing. Wow. So this is kind of a cool thing because, you know, when you think of summer and the beach, you think of surfing. Now, I'm not someone who's ever surfed. I've been to California a couple times. I've seen in like Santa Monica, people wearing the wetsuits and going out and surfing and catching, you know, some great waves and stuff like that. And it is very impressive to see, but not something I think I could ever possibly do. I could probably paddle on the board in and out like I see them doing at the beginning. But so here's how this worked. Now, the picture we have on screen is a sort of like a wave pool where they create the waves, but they are doing this in, I'm guessing it's the ocean. I don't exactly know what venue it's in, but it's in some sort of natural water. So each surfer will have 30 minutes to catch as many waves as they can and receive a score from 0 to 10 for each wave surfed. However, only the top two waves from each surfer get calculated in their final score. So I guess it's like you drop the bottom ones you do, and you know, you're just taking your two best scores. So
that's interesting because like that's complete. Like what if your time slot has no waves?
That's a good point. Like, yeah. It's very dependent on the weather.
What if somebody gets a gnarly wave mm-hmm. and you're stuck with nothing?
Yeah. You know, like wave. There's a freaking typhoon coming through here, or a tsunami. This person's getting a 40-foot wave and now it's calm and still for mine. Yeah. That's a great point. I didn't think about that. I don't know if there's
rules or conditions mm-hmm. concerning that, if it's like a fault.
That's a great point. Yeah. So sometime. I wonder if that is factored in. All right, let's go to the next event. Now, I was not a big track and field person. I was able to run a little bit, but this is an event that you only really see in the Olympics, is the steeplechase. So this is one of the few sports that actually began, its roots are in Ireland. It previously involved riding horses over obstacles between the steeples of two towns. These days, the horses have been removed, and the new steeplechase is a group of people running obstacle courses that are not nearly as fun as like a Tough Mudder or the Spartan race that you may see. But these guys and girls are very, very talented Olympic track athletes. So this is kind of a cool event. Have you ever seen this event before?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
I mean, you have to be. It's grueling. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hurdle. You jump into water.
Yeah.
I mean, you are.
Not to mention, you got to keep your balance a little 100%. Bit too. You could slip and fall on your ass so easily.
Oh my goodness, yeah. You are, it's just very, very tough on the body for mm-hmm. sure. Like mm-hmm. you have to be very well conditioned. Like the runners have become the horse. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they are just beasts okay. in all reality.
Okay. Yeah. So this is an event I recommend checking out because it's one of those events too. All these events are not something we ever usually really watch, except for maybe occasionally every 4 years, but I highly recommend checking that out. Next one is a new event. BMX Freestyle will make its Olympic debut this year at the 20. What? And by the way, they're still called the 2020 games, even though it's 2021 because of COVID and all that stuff. But it's going to make its debut this year. They also have BMX racing that was in previous Olympics. So that's kind of neat. The next one. And I threw up a picture of Will Ferrell from Old School just because when I think of rhythmic gymnastics, that's the very first thing I think of, them twirling the ribbons and all that stuff. But I get it. Again, they're amazing athletes. It's cool. But when I think of rhythmic gymnastics, I've probably seen more of it in the movie Old School than I've actually seen in real life. So Has that been something you've ever seen before?
I have not.
Okay.
Decided to sit down and watch rhythmic gymnastics. Not regular gymnastics.
Regular tune in. Unbelievable. Yeah.
I mean, holy cow.
Yeah.
But yeah, rhythmic, not so much.
Okay. And I'm sure, you know, the athletic ability is still out off the charts with some 100%. Of these, you know, athletes. A couple more. Sailing, you know, I don't really need to get into that. That one's pretty self-explanatory. We have air pistol, which, again, I mentioned in the modern pentathlon is one of the things they do. But the 10-meter air pistol, there's other events with the air pistol. And I believe it's just blanks they're shooting. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they have like Cialis or something as, you know, them shooting blanks as one of their sponsors on there. another event, field hockey. You know, that's actually a high school sport. Around a lot of the high schools around here, or it's becoming high school sports, or at least club teams. But, you know, it's basically soccer with a stick. And we're sort of lacrosse without what's the lacrosse stick? Just the lacrosse stick.
Yeah. I don't really know.
So it's sort of similar lines, you know, as lacrosse, as soccer, but you know, you're hitting the ball or whatever with the stick instead of, you know, with your foot or throwing it or whatever. All right, now we're going to get into the ones that are no longer around, that are totally random. So these are no longer active, but weird, and I felt I had to mention these. So rope climbing. When I think of rope climbing, I think of like second grade gym class and like having to climb the rope, and like there might even have been a bell you had to ring or something, but... So Either the Olympic Committee ran out of ideas or desperately wanted to relive their glory days of screaming obscenities at kids in gym class.
Yeah.
Either way, it was included from 1896 to 1932. Yet dodgeball has yet to go to the Olympics even once.
I would love to see dodgeball.
Dodgeball needs to be added. I'm sorry. That would be so much fun.
This reminds me more of like the like those strongman competitions. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like this would be more
absolutely
easily adaptable or more, you know, respected in that field.
And well, not the next one, but the one after that we got coming up is more of a strongman thing too. Gotcha. We'll talk about in a second. The next one though is extra weird. So this was the only picture I could find of this event from the actual inception. This picture, I believe, is from 1900. It is live pigeon shooting. That's right, live pigeon shooting. Thankfully, this bloody disaster only appeared in the Olympics once at the 1900 Olympic Games in Paris. The competition consisted of shooting as many pigeons as possible in the allotted time. The winner killed 21 birds that day with an estimated total of 300 fowl killed in the entire competition. Could you imagine PETA right now this competition was alive? You know, like, I mean, I'm not this, you know, bird lover or anything, but I mean, you can't kill live animals in an Olympic competition.
No.
You know, they're not having elk hunting or deer hunting or something like that. They might have changed this to like skeet shooting or something like that in the future, but yeah, you can't do that with live animals.
Something that can showcase the same skill.
Exactly. Without
killing a live animal. I mean,
totally 100%. But that was just, I saw it on the list and I'm like, I gotta have this one. And here's your next one with the feats of strength. The picture's not very great. Once again, it's an original. Yeah. But tug of war.
Wow.
This was discontinued in 1920. It consisted of the burliest people from each country yanking on a rope. We've all done tug of war at some point in our life until the center line passed a certain point. In actuality, it was one of the original games from the early Olympics that took place in 500 BCE. Each team had 8 people and were required to pull the rope a full 6 feet or have pulled the furthest within 5 minutes. Great Britain dominated the sport. If you can believe that.
I think we need to bring it back.
I tug of war, like if you got your 7 strongest friends and, you know, do you think you could compete against pick any country in the world?
No.
No?
Not my, I mean, probably not.
Not my friends.
Not my friends. But I think about America just assembling all these beefcakes, you know. But from the gyms, the depths of the.
What about if? I wonder if there was a weight limit too, because could you imagine like?
Oh, there's probably now, weight now, classes.
Usually
for sure.
In Japan, like people are smaller, thinner, and stuff like that, as a whole. However, what if they got 8 sumo wrestlers?
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? And just like they don't have to budge.
Yeah, I mean, you see some of these strongmen
exactly. from these
competitions. I mean, they're huge. Mm-hmm. Like. I mean, there has to be weight classes. I think it'd be a fun event.
It'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
It'd be at least cool to watch.
Yeah, like we beat you guys in tug of war.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
just cool, bro.
Or if there was a tie in a certain event, like which probably rarely happens, but the tug of war became like the tiebreaker.
Like
that'd be kind of cool.
Dancing.
Yeah, exactly. The artistic dancers, they have to get out of the pool, and then like you pick your strongest 8 or whatever, and. Hey,
I just think it'd be cool to see each nation go toe to toe.
Yeah, like, that would be it'd be cool. So we are plugging for dodgeball and tug of war to make
dodgeball would be their insane. Appearance. I don't even know how you'd select dodgeball players.
I know. Like, that's probably why they don't have it because there'd be so many people vying.
Yeah. Would you go to all the other like the NBA and
would you get average Joes and
would you
and
just get a bunch of pitchers from the MLB exactly. and throw them in
yeah.
there?
Like, you get your yeah. It would be a combination of a bunch of things because you do have to be agile, that's mobile, right. all like that stuff.
Soccer players. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can only imagine.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, look at this next picture. And I apologize, anyone listening on a podcast, you're not going to see this picture, but let me try to paint this picture. It almost looks like a horror movie where someone's climbing out of a water apparatus or venue or something. And there's someone trying to reach up and grab them. This was a swimming obstacle course. So this unusual swimming event held at the 1900 Paris Olympics had to be the weirdest of all time, because it seems like a lot of these sports were in that. But this was
looks like he's gonna smack his ass.
It does. That's kind of what he's. It looks like he's doing. And I can't tell if that's a man or a woman. With all due respect, that picture's 120 years old.
Yeah.
But
he's gonna smack his ass. That's
what it looks so like. Here's what it consisted of. It was a 200 meter obstacle race. Was a combination of swimming and an obstacle race. The competitors had to climb over some sort of pole, then scramble over a row of boats, and then swim under a row of boats. It took place in, I believe it's called the Seine River, which was in France. So again, very, very interesting. All right, let's move on from that, because I don't know what else to say about that one. Next one, another black and white or sepia picture. We have dueling pistols. Now, not as exciting as it sounds. The name duel is a misnomer, since I guess their athletes would only fire at stuffed dummies and not one another. While, we don't want to advocate gun violence. I mean, this would kind of be cool if they, especially if they had blanks in there and they did sort of like an
whoever shot
Aaron
first.
Burr.
Okay.
Who was that? Alexander Hamilton, yeah. Or Aaron Burr, whoever. They have like a little duel. You step out, you count to 10, you turn around.
Or even like airsoft, or I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Or paintball. Paintball, you know, yeah. Something like that. So, yeah,
I mean, this is how they settled it back in the day.
This is it.
I
always think when I think of duels, I think of Aaron Burr. That's what I think of. Like, that's the first name that comes to mind way back when the, you know, well, beginning I mean, of the,
you know, you go country. Can't do that. He can't do this these days, huh?
No. And especially in Japan, I think Japan, there's actually no guns. They're like no gun constitution in Japan.
Wow.
So, interesting.
Yeah, but you can get in a fight at a bar, you know. 20 yeah. paces, man, and yeah. shoot, let's go.
Unfortunately, yeah. Let's decide can't things with fists or
can't
or
do
whatever.
That now,
or passive aggressive comments on Facebook like a normal person. all right, let's go to the next one. Another one. These almost look like UFOs, but they are hot air balloons.
That one's kinda, it was a race.
Exactly.
It was a race?
Apparently. I don't have the details on this one, but yeah. I know there was just like a bad hot air balloon accident. I don't want to make fun of anyone for that, you know, but because this seems like it would be pretty dangerous.
Yeah, like I would be shooting other people's hot air balloons down.
there's a George Carlin joke that comes to mind, and he's like, I'm sick of these rich bastards flying around in the world in their hot air balloons. I hope the next one gets struck by lightning and flies around in little fart circles. So there's another one. I think this might be the last black and white picture, but horse jumping, which is like a long jump. Okay. Yeah. So sort of like the human version, but you know, it's basically just a competition of to see which horse could jump the furthest. So not necessarily an athletic person would need to do this, but you know, you'd need the right jockey to do that.
Yeah. So. I mean, you gotta be light.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
You should have had these come up and have me guess what the sport
that's
was.
You know what? That's a good that's next time we will do that. This one, I mean, let me just say in tandem bicycle sprint, self-explanatory. Let's just say you want to be the guy in the front, not the back. Yeah. So, and I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to leave it at that. And this picture, I just had to put this picture in because this was the first one that came up. But this is the most oxymoron event of all time. And the girl in the picture, beautiful. I mean, nice to look at. But it is called solo synchronized swimming. What the hell does that mean?
How do you synchronize with yourself?
Yeah, I mean, anything you do is synchronized with yourself, isn't it? Like, I mean, so
it's pretty uncoordinated people.
So, there, I mean, like the move that she's doing, I think I would break you. We were talking about a broken back earlier. Yeah. I would break my back like trying to do that.
Like pain scorpion. But,
oh my gosh. So, yeah, it looks like a move like an MMA fighter would put on you to get you to tap out.
She's belly flopping.
Yeah. But since there was only one lone competitor in the pool at any given time. It was introduced in 1984 during the height of the cocaine trade. I don't know what that means. I took this from an article in I'll sort the site source the site later, but it stopped in 1992 when everyone sobered up. So maybe they just said, you know, the cocaine use was way up in 1984, and then they realized when the cocaine use went down, this was maybe a bad idea.
Everybody was seeing double. That's why it could be synchronized. You know, everybody was so high.
They said in this article, imagine a depressing water ballet, and you'll wonder how it lasted that long. So, yeah. Wow. So there's that. Okay, you ready for this one? This might be the most random one ever. This one you'll never be able to guess because it has I just put the Olympic rings on there because I have no idea where this one even came from. But in the first half of the 20th century, the Olympic Games actually had a medal competition for town planning. Town planning. So in the four Olympic Games between 1928 and 1948, Amsterdam, LA, Berlin, and London, gold, silver, and bronze medals were handed out in a decidedly non-athletic competition of town planning. So maybe, this is my only thought, maybe they were putting these plans together, whatever, for, you know, people that might be non-athletic, but could maybe build a future Olympic town or something. I mean, so maybe they can get some free work out of these people and think, hey, here's a gold medal for it.
Now here's the thing, is it's the Olympics strictly athletic? Like, are we limiting?
Oh boy.
You know,
I think it's getting to a slippery slope with that.
Because I mean it's a competition between countries.
Sure.
I mean, sure. Athletic ability isn't the only thing that you could be competitive in, I guess.
You're right. Does that make, should we put chess in the Olympics? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, because chess that's is
skill.
That it's is a game, skill.
But you don't have to be athletic. So
right.
we could get into a lot.
100%.
Like, I mean, video games.
You could do a Jeopardy game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, video games are skill-based. I mean, you don't really have to be an athlete, but it's serious skill.
I think for the Olympics were based on, you know, you go back to Greek times, and we were talking about the Greek freak at the beginning of the show, you know? So I think it's based on athletic ability. So I think, you know, this was only around for four Olympic cycles. So I think it was best they dropped this one.
It's not really enticing to watch.
Exactly.
So
I don't know how you could watch this one. So that would be interesting.
Yeah, chess. I couldn't imagine watching chess.
You know this one?
I know this one.
Begins with a C.
Yeah, it's cricket.
Close. Croquet.
Okay.
Croquet. So croquet making the winter. Baseball. We had talked about curling before.
Yeah.
This makes curling look really exciting. Really, curling really
exciting. Okay, I will argue that.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, that'll be on our Winter Olympics show in a couple months when they do that. But it does have the distinction of being the first game that women could play in the Olympics. So that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
But it was only around for the 1900 Olympics, which were, again, in Paris. So just a few more.
Especially like golf with just putters.
Yeah, right. If they had a putt-putt competition. Yeah. So that would be kind of cool.
Cricket's like the baseball version. Cricket's a base, more like baseball. Yeah.
Cricket's really popular in Europe, in India. Mm-hmm. So I don't know much about that sport, but I know it is very popular over there. All right, this next one. Any idea?
All right. This is a...
This is one of your strongman competitions.
Yeah, this is a single-handed clean.
It is one-handed weightlifting. You are correct. So it survived for three Olympics around the end of the 19th century. Men were the only ones permitted to compete, and they would do so by grabbing a weight three times with each hand and jerking it into the air, much like starting a lawnmower. So
nice.
One-handed weightlifting. Very interesting there. All right, next one. This one has a very French sounding name, and this was the only actual, like, I couldn't find the real picture of it.
Pickleball.
But this was a precursor to tennis. It almost does look like pickleball. It was formerly an awkward indoor game played on a stage similar to racquetball, except the competitors faced each other over a velvet rope. I'm not sure why the rope needed to be velvet, but it translates to game of palm because they would just play with their palms. But it's called jeu de palm, I believe. Jeu de palm.
Yeah.
Or jeu de palm. So again, it translates to game of pawn. So it's basically racquetball where you're facing someone, or even tennis or ping pong, where you're hitting the ball with your hand.
Yeah.
So it only appeared at the 1908 games, mostly because of the large indoor courts didn't exist in many of the locations. So very interesting there. A couple more randos. So this one just looks like someone's drowning. And again, not making fun of it, but I mean, this is a totally random, and this is more of a new one. It's no longer around, but you want to take a guess at what this is called?
I mean,
I don't think you can get this one, but when you jump in a pool, what's it called? You take
a dive?
Not a dive. Begins with a P.
P.
Or a P? Something you might use if your toilet's clogged.
Oh, a plunge.
A plunge. A plunge. Okay. So this would be called plunge for distance. And apparently that was a sport. Instead of the artistic and challenging aerial feats that modern divers must undertake to walk away with gold, plunging for distance required that competitors make a standing dive and then remain motionless underwater for a full minute. They had to stay underwater for a full minute without moving. Like, what the hell is that about? Or until their head broke the surface of the pool. So, you know, they're not going to make them struggle if they're not able to breathe. They can come up. But whoever went the furthest would win. Oddly, this only lasted one Olympic cycle.
Yeah. So,
big surprise.
Wow. Riveting.
I think you're going to like this next picture.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Vince Vaughn, Wedding Crashers. He's making a motion asking... Shoot. If he did this, I guess it would be a noun, but if he did this verb. So it involves a boat.
Oh, shit.
He calls him a motorboat and son of a bitch. So the sport was motorboating. Not the motorboating you think of, but a motorboat with a literal motorboat. So it first came on the scene and when motors were just catching on. And the Olympics decided they could be included in the games. It was more of a feat of engineering than one skill. And obviously, it didn't last too long. But motorboat. You motorboat and son of a bitch. Yeah. So that was around for one or two or three Olympics. I didn't have the exact years on that.
Huh.
This next one. Oh, I love this picture. It looks like fencing.
Yeah, it's like...
Let me read you the description and then you know what? You're never going to guess because I believe it's French or Spanish. I'm not exactly sure, but it's called Lacan or Lacan.
Lacan.
So there's only one way to make fencing better, and that's to do it with canes instead of swords.
Shirtless.
So for one Olympics, men, and this is right from the description, men thrashed each other soundly with long sticks and called it a competition. It is estimated that Lacan or Lacan, I'm not exactly sure pronunciation, will make a resurgence when Thunderdome rules are implemented into the games. So Lacan or Lacan, if somebody knows the pronunciation, there it is. So that looks fun. And then this might be my favorite. This might be my favorite. Okay. And I think this was taken from a group, not the actual Olympic games. This picture.
It's group juggling.
So it is called club swinging. Club swinging. So this was an actual event combining the mesmerizing act of juggling with the athleticism of standing still. So this event involved whipping around a bunch of items that were shaped basically like bowling pins. It began in 1904. And while it didn't survive long, it eventually was supplanted. By rhythmic gymnastics, where people twirl ribbons and hoops while looking deadly serious. So much better than, much better than club swinging.
Group juggling. The
rhythmic gymnastics. Now, new sports that have entered, we have sports climbing, which is basically, you know, a rock wall.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough stuff.
I have never done that. So
never
done it. So
it's fun. I mean, I'm definitely not competitive. We'll put it that way. But
You could go up to the rec center.
Yeah, yeah, I'll have to do that. I mean, I've definitely been around them and seen them, but I've never tried it myself. And I think this is something that would take a lot of upper body strength and a lot of skill because, you know, if you want to do it fast. Yeah. And this is something, you know, you could see in like, I feel like a lot of like American Ninja Warrior type stuff is going to start making its way to the Olympics. I mean, that could eventually be a competition.
Yeah.
You know, you can't call it American. You can just call it Ninja Warrior or something.
Like a gauntlet or something. Mm-hmm. You know?
Just a couple more and then we'll end the show. But, you know, now we have skateboarding, which is in the Olympics, obviously popularized by the X Games, which kind of made its run through the 90s. And I think it's still going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, just kind of a different sport, but a very popular sport around multiple countries, especially the United States. And then you'll have to tell me your opinion on this last one. Breakdancing.
Breakdancing.
So
listen, I've busted a few moves downtown. Okay.
Know. Okay. I have a friend. I'm going to give him a shout out. Dave Hodge. I'm sure there's better out there that are like literally professionals, but for just your average dude off the street, this guy can break dance like no other. So I'm gonna have him send a video we can use on the show. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Like literally every wedding we go to or whatever, they'll play like Billie Jean or something like that, and he'll just break it down, and it is one of the best things to watch ever. It's like, you know, especially once you get a few drinks in you and you see someone break dancing, it just gets the whole crowd going. So again, another popularized by TV type sport. I mean,
Chris Brown made this possible.
Exactly. So, I mean, I give credit to all these athletes. So that was kind of like the highlights I had of our random Olympic ones. I think I covered the list. Is there anything, you know, and I know you had talked about curling, but we'll get to that winter Olympic stuff later, but anything else you can think of that maybe I missed from my list? And we've been covering this for a while. So, you know, what, anything I missed or anything that stands out to you for the randos and the
randoms? Olympic? Yeah, I don't really know, honestly. I mean,
I
feel like there's so much because it goes on night and day.
Exactly. I
mean, it goes all day.
Exactly.
All night.
You know, and there's some still more obscure ones I didn't even get to, but I tried to stick to the main random ones, but I thought that was a pretty good list. Anyone listening or watching, please write in, call in on Thursday if you have any, because I would love to hear more about what you guys think. But you know, share your thoughts with us on that. But hopefully you learned something today, and you know, appreciate you guys listening. Don't forget game 6 of the NBA Finals. Hopefully we get you a game 7 to cover on Thursday. We'll have a lot more talk about it then. So everybody have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.